Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 72 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Mike Williams.
Gas prices continue to move a bit lower from where they stand today. Across the state of Kentucky, prices averaging about $3.40 a gallon.
Patrick DeHaan of KentuckyGasPrices.com says fuel costs could drop 20 cents a gallon by the end of October.
Kentucky State Police arrest an Elliott County middle school student following an incident at the building today.
And college scholarships will honor two area teens who died from drug overdoses.
In sports, it's the Reds and Mets tonight at Great American Ballpark.
Bud Luke has the business news.
Mostly clear this evening, lows around 47 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up, but first, this news.
A student at the Elliott County Middle School has been charged with unlawful possession of a weapon following an incident at the building this morning. Trooper Joe Veneman is with the Moorhead Post of the Kentucky State Police. He says shortly before 11 o'clock, police received a report of a possible explosive device at the school. Troopers then confiscated from a student what they described as a World War II training grenade. The building was not evacuated and no injuries were reported.
The search continues in Greenup County for an elderly man with Alzheimer's disease who went missing September 13th. Kentucky State Police say 75-year-old Gerald Boyles left his South Shore home at that time, and rescue workers have been looking for him ever since. Trooper Zachary Thompson is with the KSP. He spoke with WSAZ.
Every day that goes by, it's very worrisome, and there is some trouble with that. And you know, as a family, you know, we can just only put ourselves in their shoes and just imagine what they're going through.
Police searched a bean field near Boyle's home on Saturday. Family members tell the Huntington Station they're concerned about his health because he also has Parkinson's disease.
More than 50 Louisville residents on their way to a casino in West Virginia escaped injury Saturday when their tour bus caught fire near Moorhead on I-64. Passengers of the Miller Transportation Company vehicle were safely evacuated onto the shoulder of the road near a rest area. A Round County school bus later took the passengers to a Moorhead church to await pickup by the bus company. Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says the cause looks to be engine trouble.
It looks like he was leaking fuel prior to the stop, where he stopped on right before the rest stop at the 141 mile marker. So there was a trace for a few hundred feet of fuel leaking. So I would say it started in the engine motor area, probably from a fuel leak or some type of malfunction.
Anderson says the Moorhead Fire Department was able to douse the blaze with support from farmers.
One business destroyed during the March 2012 tornado outbreak has reopened its doors. During the 18 months of rebuilding Salyersville Subway restaurant, all the tools used in the construction were stolen. That made the process seem that much longer. That's according to the store's owner, Ginger Oney. She spoke with WYMT-TV.
It's been a long struggle, and we're just thankful to be back, and we've had overwhelming support of the county. It's been overwhelming.
Oney adds since the restaurant reopened Wednesday, business has been great thanks to community support.
Kentucky's public universities will apparently seek money in the next state budget that would be divided among them based on their number of graduates. That's what the president of the Council on Post-Secondary Education has told Insight Cable's Pure Politics. Robert King says details are still being worked out among the schools, but they have agreed in principle to the concept.
Campuses will earn those dollars because they've produced more associate degrees, more bachelor's degrees, more master's, PhDs, professional degrees. And that's something that we're seeing. The president has talked about it, President Obama. We're seeing it in a number of other states as a way of linking university and community college performance to funding.
King tells Pure Politics universities will also seek state money for a scholarship program known as Bucks for Brains.
College scholarships in the name of a Moorhead girl and an Ashland boy who died from prescription drug overdoses were announced today by Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway. The initial Sarah Ray and Michael Donta scholarships will be awarded in May to students who overcome substance abuse and excelled in academics. Both scholarships are for $1,500. One will go to a female student and the other to a male. Parents of the late teens, Dr. Karen Shea and Mike Donta, both attended a press conference in Frankfurt to discuss the scholarships. Part of the money for them was put up by the National Association of Drug Diversion Investigators. Shea has a dental practice in Rowan County. Her 19-year-old daughter died from a drug overdose in 2006.
This gift will continue to pay forward to other students who have had struggles, as my daughter did, and that it in hopes that it will help them, to encourage them to move forward in a very positive way and stay away from the prescription drugs and to have good, full lives.
Attorney General Jack Conway says the initiative is intended to send a clear message to teens impacted by drug abuse that the future can still be bright.
An Elliott County Community Resource Center that focuses on helping low-income women and children has a new building for its Childhood Development Center. Sarah's Place celebrated the grand opening of the 4,000-square-foot state-of-the-art facility over the weekend. Spokeswoman Sister Sally Neal says the CDC provides children ages 7 weeks to 4 years with critical educational opportunities and motor skills training. Neal says the program currently has 38 kids in it, but the new building will allow them to hike that figure to 60. She adds that's important since one-third of Elliott County's youngsters come from families who live at or below the federal poverty line.
Because unless they get a good start, they're going to get discouraged when they go to school, to the big school, as they call it, and they're going to drop out. You know, and the older they get, the more we can see that the background we set, that we give them, and the training we give them, do pay off.
Sarah's Place received $300,000 from the state in coal severance funds to build the new Childhood Development Center.
Kentucky motorists are likely to see gas prices fall over the next month. That's the word from a petroleum analyst with the website KentuckyGasPrices.com. Patrick DeHaan tracks fuel costs daily in the Commonwealth.
There certainly are some caveats, though, to that forecast. Temporary in nature, we could see prices go up briefly to a limited degree because of the situation in Syria, if it changes or worsens, or a major hurricane should strike. But barring that, of the last 10 years, gas prices have declined about 20 cents a gallon between today and Halloween.
DeHaan says the average price across Kentucky today is $3.41. It's $3.36 in Ashland, $3.17 in Mount Sterling, and $3.42 in Moorhead. The lowest cost in the Bluegrass today is in London, where it's $3.09. The highest is in Jeffersontown. It's $3.79 there.
Many scientists and environmentalists say climate change caused by carbon emissions is contributing to America's extreme weather in recent years. A new report finds that Kentucky has 6 of the 100 dirtiest power plants in the country in terms of carbon pollution. Greg Stottlemyre has more.
Environment America Research and Policy Center analyzed data the plants submit to the U.S. Department of Energy. Brian Maggie is an atmospheric scientist.
These numbers aren't coming from anybody with an agenda. It's coming from the people that actually have done the emissions. And the reason they're still burning fossil fuels is because we want them. So at some point, we have to make a choice.
According to the report, America's dirtiest power plants, Kentucky's power plants emit as much CO2 as more than 19 million cars. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting.
The fall ballot in one southeastern Ohio city won't include initiatives seeking to ban the controversial high-pressure oil and gas drilling technique of hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. The Athens County Board of Elections rejected the ballot initiative without elaborating, and supporters of the proposal tell the Athens Messenger it's too late to make the November 5th ballot. The proposal would have banned such drilling and related waste disposal work in Athens, which is home to Ohio University. A spokesman for the group that backed the plan says it hasn't decided on any steps or possible appeal.
Amazon will start collecting a 6% sales tax on purchases shipped to West Virginia starting next month. The Charleston Gazette reports the e-commerce giant will start applying the sales tax on October 1st. Amazon.com opened a customer service center in Huntington in 2011.
State Representative Rocky Adkins says the Kentucky General Assembly may attempt to reform the tax system next year, but it's a daunting task. The Catlettsburg Democrat says there is clearly a need to make changes, but coming up with a plan that can pass both the House and Senate is a big challenge.
There's no question that the tax code that we're currently operating under is not fair. It's outdated. It is not as competitive as it probably needs to be. The real challenge is really coming with the proposals that can be agreed upon by both chambers.
Adkins says crafting Kentucky's next two-year budget will be the legislature's top priority in 2014, along with trying to provide some additional funding for education and human services.
Rowan officials are still working to finalize their application to the Kentucky Department of Corrections for permission to build the county's new detention center. In addition to naming the site for the proposed 250 to 300-bed facility, Judge Executive Jim Nickel says there's still a lot of paperwork that must be completed.
I think we're online. I believe next month we'll probably have our application done to submit to the state, and their process may take anywhere from 2 to 3, 4 months to call their committee together. It's a statewide committee. There are legislators and other folks that sit on that committee and our proposed facility.
Rowan County expects to announce the planned site for its new jail in a couple of weeks.
A Fayette County District Court judge says Kentucky needs to find better ways to deal with mentally ill people who run afoul of the law. Kim Wilkie discussed the issue last week before House and Senate members of the Kentucky General Assembly's Health and Welfare Committee. He says it just doesn't make sense to lock them up.
We've got probably 10 to 15 individuals in Fayette County who we see on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and they are mentally ill, but they don't get charged with mental illness. What they get charged with is alcohol intoxication, criminal trespass, you name it. And you come in, they are not competent. These are the regulars, over and over and over.
Wilkie says the mentally ill are better handled in drug courts or community-based treatment centers. He says it's time to decriminalize mental illness.
And State Representative Robert Benvenuti says he understands the need for alternative sentences for mentally ill people who commit nonviolent crimes. The Lexington Republican says individuals should not be jailed because they have an illness, but provisions in the law to ensure public safety must be maintained.
Individual liberties are important. So are the liberties of the victims in waiting. There are individual liberties lost in the fact that there are lives lost, and we can't allow that to continue.
Benvenuti says a social worker may not be able to motivate a mentally ill person to get treatment, but a judge with a court order can.
Checking the region's weather forecast for this evening, clear with a low now around 50 degrees, that is. For tomorrow, sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy with highs near 75 degrees. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy, then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers, lows around 56 degrees, chance of rain near 20%. For your Wednesday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, highs near 75 once again, chance of rain near 40%. Currently it's 72 degrees in Ashland, 69 degrees in Flemingsburg, 73 degrees in Winchester, 72 degrees in Lexington, 66 degrees in Inez, and 72 degrees in Moorhead.
It is 4:44. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It's good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, after receiving a funding boost, Carter County's drug-free mission is operational for another 5 years. MSPR's Jordan Simonson has details.
Carter County's Effective Drug-Free Coalition has received a $125,000 grant from the Office of National Drug Control Policy to continue its work for the next 5 years. Shelley Steiner is the grant coordinator for the coalition. Steiner says the initiative began after local school system officials noticed a drop in test scores in the 2005-2006 school year, and a plan was set to discover the cause.
What they did was they convened a task force of community members to get together and really dig down into why their test scores were so low. And they started coming up with, like, attendance, kids falling asleep at school, behavior problems. And then they started looking at why those things were so bad. And it came back to drug use, not just with the youth, but with the parents at home and what they were having to go through at home.
Beginning in 2006, the coalition started surveying students in the 6th, 8th, 10th, and 12th grades every 2 years about their possible drug use. Siner says the results of those polls have improved greatly over the last couple of years.
So we have reduced our tobacco and prescription drug in youth, and we've done it in double digits, so it's been a dramatic decrease.
These improvements are the results of several tactics the organization and task force employ. Siner says one of them is for the CCDFC to act as an anti-drug lobbying group to get important legislation passed.
It's a comprehensive approach because no one thing is a silver bullet or everybody would have it. What we try to do is not only individual strategies but environmental strategies. One of the things that we did was we were one of the first counties in the state who helped Carter County Fiscal Court to pass a pain clinic ordinance to have no Florida-style pain clinics. And then they used that ordinance throughout the state as an example.
Over the next 5 years, the Carter County Drug-Free Coalition objectives will focus more on the abuse of marijuana, alcohol, and prescription drugs, and will hopefully decrease the drug problem in the county while also helping the test scores in the Carter County School District to continue to rise. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Jordan Simonson.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Mike has a check of sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the MSU Innovation and Commercialization Center. The ICC provides assistance for technology and innovation-based businesses in East Kentucky, with offices at Morehead State University and a satellite office at Ashland Community and Technical College. The ICC also provides help to startup businesses by assisting with venture and angel capital, patents, market assessment, fundraising, and more. Additional information at 606-783-9536 and online at kyinnovation.com.
One last homestand. Good afternoon. Public Radio Sports Time is 4:48. I'm Mike Williams reporting. With just 6 games left to go in the regular season, the Cincinnati Reds return to Great American Ballpark this evening at 7:10 to begin a series with the New York Mets. 2 wins and 3 tries over the weekend in Pittsburgh have 89-67 Cincinnati tied with the Pirates in the National League wildcard race and also for second place in the Central Division. The two clubs trail St. Louis by only 2 games. Pitcher Bronson Arroyo says the Reds are sitting pretty as they try to nail down a playoff berth.
When you're within 1, 1.5, 2 games of the lead with a week left to go, it's where you want to be, especially, we're kind of in a good position.
Pittsburgh will be in Chicago tonight to start a set with the Cubs while the Cardinals are at home to face Washington. In the lone baseball game this afternoon, currently the Baltimore Orioles lead the Tampa Bay Devil Rays 3-1 in the 4th inning. The season is over for CC Sabathia of the Yankees. The club says the left-hander has strained a left hamstring and that it will take roughly 8 weeks to recover from. Sabathia ends the season with a record of 14-13. The NFL game this evening on Monday Night Football features 2 longtime rivals as the Broncos are playing host to the Raiders. These teams have been playing one another since the start of the old American Football League. Entering tonight's game, the Broncos are 2-0, while the Raiders are 1-1. Quarterback Andy Dalton credits the Bengals' defense with carrying Cincinnati to a 34-30 win over Green Bay yesterday at Paul Brown Stadium. Dalton notes that the Bengals won despite turning the ball over 4 times.
Whenever you turn the ball over as many times as we did, it's hard to win. And so, but we had our chances. I mean, we had the lead. All we had to do was score one more time, and our chances to win the game would have been increased a whole lot.
The Packers also had 4 turnovers. Their last one proved to be the most costly as Cincinnati's Terrence Newman picked up a fumble with under 4 minutes to play and returned it 58 yards for the game-winning touchdown. The 2-1 Bengals visit Cleveland next Sunday. Speaking of Cleveland, Browns coach Rob Chudzinski says he has not yet decided if quarterback Brandon Hoyer will make his second start this week against the Bengals. Hoyer threw three touchdown passes yesterday as the Browns stunned the Minnesota Vikings. Shocking win capped a crazy week for the Browns as Chudzinski picked Hoyer to start for an injured Brandon Whedon, and the team traded starting running back Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier says his team made some key progress during its 56-24 loss to Eastern Kentucky, but also showed it still has much it can improve on. Tenier believes the Eagles played with great effort and did a nice job on running the offense and sustaining drives, but defensively, MSU is still missing too many tackles. He admits he finds that problem puzzling.
It's not like we don't tackle live football. I mean, we do it at practice, and we drill it, and just something you got to show up and you got to play. And, you know, if we could have tackled much better tonight, I think we could have had a lead at some point in this game. And but it cuts down on the big plays, the big chunks, and so you have to address it. We got to practice it, and we got to get better at it. We need to make improvements.
Eastern had 606 yards of total offense against MSU, of which 370 came on the ground. Now 0-4, the Eagles return to Jane Stadium next Saturday at 1 p.m. to face PFL opponent Davidson. By the way, Morehead State junior Brandon Bornhauser is the league's quote kickoff returner of the week, after taking back five kickoffs against EKU for 122 yards. The Kentucky football team hopes having the weekend off will provide some energy, rather, for the toughest part of its season. The Wildcats return to practice today to prepare for Saturday night's Southeastern Conference opener against number 20 Florida, the first of three straight against ranked league opponents, including number 12 South Carolina the next week and number 1 Alabama on October 12th. Saturday also marks the return of former Kentucky coach Joker Phillips, fired last fall after three seasons, and now he is the Florida Gators wide receiver coach. The Rowan County football team is licking its wounds after suffering a 41-0 loss to Tate's Creek on Friday night. Coach Kyle Singleton says after the disheartening effort, the Vikings need to keep their heads up as they prepare for an even tougher test this Friday when they host Ashland Blazer. Despite the crushing defeat, Singleton says there are some positives his team can take from the game.
You know, we're not going to face a more athletic team than this all year long. And we've faced tough competition week in and week out, and we face that. So when it comes time for district play, we're going to be ready. We're going to know what our weaknesses are. We're going to know what we got to work on. And our kids are used to playing at a different speed than what they're used to. All right, so with that, we got to just make sure that we stay positive in what we've accomplished and what we've done, and keep moving forward.
The loss dropped Rowan County to 1-4 on the season. The Morehead State volleyball team will bid for its sixth straight win tonight, although it won't be an easy feat. The 9-4 Eagles will visit number 19 Kentucky at 7 in Lexington. MSU coach Jamie Gordon believes his players will be sky high to take on the Cats.
Absolutely. You know, right now Kentucky's a top 20 team. Just last weekend beat Minnesota, who at the time was number 4 in the country. So one of the things that our team has been fantastic about is that they want to not just compete, but beat the best teams in the country. And Kentucky is one of those right now, and so that's a great opportunity.
The Wildcat women are 7-3 on the season after a weekend sweep at home over Lipscomb. In NBA news, Shaquille O'Neal is joining the ownership group of the Sacramento Kings. The Kings announced earlier today that O'Neal has acquired a minority stake in the team. The Kings will introduce the four-time NBA champion at a news conference tomorrow in Sacramento. NCAA President Mark Emmert says he expects, quote, a lot of change, end quote, for the governance structure of Division I sports over the next 6 to 8 months. Emmert was in Grapevine, Texas earlier today speaking at the annual meeting of Division I faculty athletics representatives. He says the only thing everyone seems to agree upon is that Division I governance doesn't work. He says the NCAA board heads into October and January meetings expecting to look at, quote, a whole different governance model for Division I athletics. And finally, LPGA announced earlier today that the 2007 Solheim Cup will be held at the Des Moines Golf Club in Iowa this upcoming 2007. That's Check of Sports. Have a good evening. I'm Mike Williams reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will host Pioneer Football League opponent Davidson this Saturday. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. at MSU's Jane Stadium. Tickets and more information available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed lower for the third straight session, extending sharp losses from the previous week as investors digested headlines from Fed officials and also amid ongoing worries over the debt ceiling and budget wrangling in Washington. And, of course, the Dow Jones last week did finish with a gain, although it had a very weak showing on Friday. And today, not much better, with the blue chip average showing a loss of 49.52 at 15,401.57. The S&P 500 was down 8.03 at 1701.88, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 9.44 at 3765.29. Among the newsmakers today, Visa and Nike officially joined the Dow Jones Industrial Average today, replacing Alcoa and Hewlett-Packard. And also Goldman Sachs joined the Dow Jones 30 today, replacing Bank of America. Most S&P sectors ended in the red, dragged by financials and consumer discretionary, while techs and utilities finished higher. And in the tech sector today, Apple was particularly strong after the tech giant announced that sales for its new iPhone had set a record, with consumers snapping up a record 9 million smartphones within the first few days of launch. Meanwhile, Microsoft introduced its next-generation Surface tablet at an event in New York City. The new Surface Pro 2 is lighter and thinner and features 75% longer battery life and is 95% faster than all laptops on the market, according to Microsoft. Citigroup slumped after the banking giant saw a significant drop in trading revenue during the third quarter, which could hurt earnings. In Europe, business activity in the Eurozone grew faster than forecast in September, thanks to improvements in both Germany and France. And, of course, in Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel performed better than expected in Sunday's national elections, meaning she is almost certainly guaranteed a third term. In Asia, shares were mixed on Monday as investors digested better-than-expected Chinese factory activity data. However, trading volumes were thin, with Japanese markets shut for a public holiday. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 30 cents at 91.87, CSX down 22 cents at 26.20, AEP up 60 cents at 44.30, AK Steel down 7 cents at 4.02, and Marathon Petroleum was down $1.52 to finish at 62.99. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here's the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Carter, Elliott, and Mason. Tonight, clear, lows around 50 degrees. Tuesday, sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy, highs near 75. Tuesday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then mostly cloudy with a slight chance of showers, lows around 56. The chance of rain is 20%. On Wednesday, look for partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms, highs reaching 75, and the chance of rain is 40%. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows around 52. Currently in Ashland, it is 72 degrees, 69 in Flemingsburg, 73 in Winchester, 72 in Lexington, 66 degrees in Inez, and on the campus of Morehead State University, it is sunny and 72 degrees. And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Joshua Grandison, Caleb Noe, Kayla Hall, Arlo Barnett, and Jordan Simonson, Greg Stottlemyre from the Kentucky News Service. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Mike Williams and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.